This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. This weekend, the whole country is focused on the ongoing developments in the Boston bombing story. But for the victims of the violence and for their family members, the focus is on grieving and also the road to recovery. After tragedies like these, homegrown charities usually pop up immediately to help victims. And with emotions running high, people flock to give. But how do you decide which charities are reputable and which are scams? Ken Berger is president and CEO of Charity Navigator. That's a website which ranks philanthropic organizations, and he joins us now. Welcome, Ken.
Thanks.
What micro-charities are you seeing for victims of the bombing in Boston and now this explosion in Texas?
We're seeing a variety of charities popping up, none of them that have any track record that we know of. So there's, for example, there's a group in Boston called TUG that's raising funds. And, of course, in the case of Boston, as was the case in New Jersey after Hurricane Sandy, the governor has organized a fund, just as they did in New Jersey.
And do you have a sense of how freely people are giving?
People are giving a lot. Millions of dollars have already been raised. So the outpouring is amazing, as it often is the case.
Would you have any tips for people then listening to help them choose how to give to best help people and communities in a situation like this and how to choose which charity to invest in?
A lot of it has to do with risk and expectations. And the faster you want to see the money move, if that's your expectation, the higher your risk. If you're willing to wait a while, you lower your risk substantially, but the concern is that, you know, victims and families need support right away, and so is a trade-off. So there's no easy answer. Our general recommendation is to go slow, because then you know for certain it's a reputable organization with a track record, or even a new organization like one organized by the governor and the mayor that has the gravitas that eventually the money will get there. That's really the key. The faster you go, the higher the likelihood you're going to get ripped off.
Well, what solutions are people proposing to some of the less efficient ways that these charities work?
I think one of the most interesting ones that we've heard of recently is a group of about 50 families that have been victims, or the families of victims, of tragedies including September 11th, Sandy, as well as Newtown tragedy, and others have come together, and their solution is they're wanting to create a new charity called the National Compassion Funds, and this will guarantee that all the money will go to victims. It will go relatively quickly to the victims. So it's a very interesting model, because it's really getting to the problem that a lot of these charities face, which is they don't always really have their ear to the ground when it comes to the victims and the people that they serve. And this is a way for those people themselves to really make sure that the charity strikes that balance between vetting and accountability, while at the same time moving with speed to get people what they need.
Well, what about giving to these homegrown charities? People who have a family member or a friend who was a victim, they start charities on Kickstarter and those kinds of platforms.
You know, the general rule of thumb there is some of them are wonderful and some of them are terrible. And so if you live in the local area and you can eyeball the organization yourself, then by all means, go for those local homegrown organizations if you really feel they're going to do some good work right away. But if you're in another state and you have to make an assessment from a distance, you run a risk that the charities are not that well vetted, that they could be a scam.
You know, you've tracked this charitable giving for a long time. What patterns do you notice when it comes to people opening up their hearts and wallets? For instance, does a bombing or a shooting solicit a different response from, say, a natural disaster?
I think that they're very similar in a lot of ways. The speed with which it happens, within the first few days, there's an explosive outpouring. And as long as it's in the public consciousness, there continues to be a real surge in giving. And then after it falls off the radar of the media, frankly, that often is where you see a steep decline. And then the challenge becomes, how much money are we going to use for the immediate, and how much are we going to use for the longer term? And that's always a difficult decision for the charities. I think that donors generally expect that the money should be used very quickly, and donors' expectations are often not met.
Well, how about the flip side of this process? What advice do you have for people who do have the urge to set up a charity for victims of a tragedy?
You know, we have more charities in the United States than anywhere else in the world. The best first step is to look around. and to see if there are others involved or organizations that have a track record that are going to be involved or, you know, if the governor and the mayor are going to get involved, to try to hook your efforts up to those efforts rather than starting something from whole cloth. You can get some traction there. You can get some additional funds there. You can get the expertise that you otherwise might not have.
Ken Berger is president and CEO of Charity Navigator. Thanks for this.
My pleasure.